Hey, Rob here. Before we get into this interview with Denise Martin on Talking with T-Bird, I just want to give you a heads up. Normally, we have T-Bird record her audio on her side of the podcast to bring you the best possible sounding podcast. Unfortunately, we were not able to get the recorded audio from T-Bird's end on this episode of the podcast. I apologize for that. You will hear T-Bird, but it's going to be T-Bird calling in through her phone like we hear her when we're recording the podcast. So I apologize about that. Still think you're going to enjoy this great interview here with Denise Martin on Talking with T-Bird.
If you stay here and listen, your life will never be the same. Cause we're talking with T-Bird now. And this T-Bird you cannot change. Oh, this T-Bird you cannot change. And things might.
Talking with T-Bird is back once again, and today we'll be talking with Survivor China's Denise Martin here on another episode of season 3 of Talking with T-Bird. And here's the woman who rounds up all your favorite survivors. It's T-Bird Cooper.
Hey, Rob. Okay. Oh God, I rang my own bell. I know I'm not supposed to do
that. You got to. You got to.
Excited with this bell down here. So anyway, I rang the bell. Yes, Rob. Hey, today we've got Denise Martin on here, and I knew you were going to be excited, Rob, because remember you told me that you really like these mature female players that I'm getting. They're your favorites. They're the ones you like the best.
I don't know if I said necessarily mature. I like, but you know, sort of like the quirky ladies that are, you know, maybe, you know, not necessarily like the kids of Survivor.
Okay, so Rob, I didn't want to say it. Yes, I say mature. I think you may have said older, but I kind of took older out, and that's why I said mature female players.
Yeah.
And Denise, we're going to hear some great stories from her today, but the funniest, greatest story is her karate story. She actually got a second degree black belt, but not until she was like 29 years after her kids, you know, we're older. So she got that late. It's going to be a fun story. And I think everybody remembers about her eating the balut or attempting to eat the balut. So for people that may not know what a balut is, it is a fertilized duck egg with a nearly developed embryo.
So we're lucky you're not eating one of those on the podcast. Yeah.
Would you rather have me eat that as the popcorn?
Stick to the popcorn. Yes, please. Please. T-Bird, what have you been up to?
I've been flying a lot, Rob. A lot. Like the last 8 or 9 days, I've flown every single day.
Oh, my God.
And what got me through it? I know. It's okay. What got me through it is knowing that we were going to be talking to Denise. Because I've been super, super excited about talking to Denise. She's one of those characters that you just can't help but like. Again, a big fan favorite. The mullet. I mean, she's just such a recognizable character with her mullet that she still wears to this day. So other than that, what about you? Oh, our teams are playing. Our teams are playing each other.
That's going to be over. That's going to be over by the time this comes out, T-Bird.
I know it. Okay.
Topical sports references. T-Bird. Then also something that came up, I believe it might not have even been last holiday season, but the holiday season before that, correct me if I'm wrong. You're a big fan of fruitcake, correct?
Oh God, plastic fruitcake. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. What? This isn't the time of year for that.
Yeah, I know it's not the time of year, but I actually had fruitcake for the first time, very recently. And I wanted to tell you my review.
Okay.
So I was sent a fruitcake. I actually did a podcast about a documentary called Fruitcake Fraud. It was about a man who embezzled $17 million from the Collins Street Bakery in Corsicana, Texas. That was part of the crime scene wrap up. I was on with Sarah Carradine and Mari Forth, and one of our podcasters, Sarah Carradine, sent me a fruitcake from the Collins Street Bakery in Corsicana, Texas. And I got it and I never had it before because I said it looked good. And I have to say my review is, yeah, I liked it. It's good.
That you didn't get one!
See, I thought it was more of like a dessert, like a cake. But I found it was a little bit more like a banana bread, like a date nut bread, like a more of like a heavy bread, more so than like cake.
All right, so Rob, you named, see, I'm really familiar with Claxton fruitcake. That's it, Claxton, Georgia. Claxton fruitcakes go out all around the country.
Yeah.
So I'm not familiar with this, but I'm going to have to get you a Claxton fruitcake so you can compare the
compare
two.
Compare it.
So okay. What is the one you have?
Collins Street Bakery in Texas. Yeah. Yeah. But I didn't know you keep it in the refrigerator. You keep it cold. So yeah, it was a little bit of a different vibe because I thought that, you know, it was like a cake, like you sort of cake. I feel like it's like light and fluffy, and that is not what a fruitcake is.
And Rob, you can keep it forever. You can put it in your freezer and they last forever.
Yeah.
Take it out.
Yeah.
Take it out when you have some guests coming over. There you got your dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. It's
okay.
That easy.
All right. All right. So let's get to our main course today. That's going to be Denise. That's coming up here in just a moment. But first, let's thank our friends over at Hyundai, who remind us that everything is better electrified. And Hyundai has the widest range of electrified vehicles on the market, including the first ever Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Their turbocharged engines have quiet, rapid acceleration, and you can use electric when you want it or gas when you need it. It's your journey. Evolve it beyond the pump in the 2022 Tucson or Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Visit your nearest Hyundai dealer or learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. All right, T-Bird, take it away.
All right. It would take a grueling 20 hours on a travel train to get to their destination. But Survivor's 15th season with a location set in beautiful China did not disappoint. The game would begin by the players showing their respect and taking part in a Buddhist ceremony. This then, 40-year-old mom of three daughters, born and raised in Revere, Massachusetts, would apply for Survivor when asked by her daughter to order her a Survivor bus. She told her daughter, no need to order one. I'll just apply, get on the show, and earn it. Describing herself as competitive, outgoing, strong-willed, and determined, she would do just that. She would answer an open audition call, standing in line for 7 hours to get a 35-second audition, and that's all it took. Contacted 2 weeks later, she found herself in L.A. for finals week. One of her first meetings were with a few of the higher-ups, including Jeff Probst. Probst would ask the second-degree black belt if she knew karate. She would reply by throwing him on the ground and fighting off five others one at a time.
Oh, my God.
The next day, she met with all the CBS executives. Probst asked her, so, what did you think of yesterday? To which she replied, quote, it takes a big man to hit a woman, end quote. She said the reaction in the room was priceless, and it was at that moment, quote, I knew I was absolutely going, end quote. The weather conditions proved harsh. The heavy rains of the monsoon included mud 4 inches deep. The muck in the water had no shortage of vipers swimming in circles. But it still could not stop the oldest female in the game from making it to day 38. She had a final four pack and was hoping to go to a fire challenge, but that would be saved for another season. Finally named the lunch lady for her occupation back home and still rocking her signature look, the mullet, recognized around the Survivor community, which she said in her early years started out as a shag, which she actually cuts and styles herself to this day. I introduced a woman who says, quote, I definitely believe I would have won this entire thing if I had stayed in the game, end quote. The woman who will probably turn down your dinner invite if she finds out you're serving balloons. And the now 55-year-old old school player who says she would love to go back and could definitely adapt to a new school game. R.H.A.P. Denise Martin, a.k.a. The Lunch Lady.
Denise!
Oh my God, that was awesome, guys.
Wow.
I appreciate it. That was my story in a nutshell. Oh my God, thank you, man.
Denise, oh my God. You had to fight CBS executives in the casting process?
Absolutely, yeah. First, Jeff Frost, he was like, what do you got? And then he's like, don't hurt me. So,
hold on a second.
Right?
Denise, this is blowing my mind. So you were like, sitting in a chair or standing, and then Jeff Probst?
I was sitting in the chair, and he asked me about karate, and I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, so he comes over, so I stand up, and he's like, what do you want me to do? I was like, well, just throw a right punch. He's like, you're not going to hurt me, right? And I'm like, no, it'll be fine. So he threw the punch, and like I just easily grabbed him, and then we were between the chair and this wall, and he's like curled up in a little ball on the floor. And
oh my God.
And I turned around, there's like five guys. They're like, all right. They start throwing punches one at a time. This one guy jumps up and he's like, I didn't even feel her after he gets on the floor. So then Doug, the big, huge guy, he comes over. He's like, oh, I'm not going to throw a punch. He grabs me this freaking bear hole from behind. And we end up rolling around on the ground. And I, like, bunked his nose because, like, that means, like, dude, you've been done.
Yeah. And,
right? So then, the guy was, like, 6'5".
This is like a Bruce Lee movie.
No, it was funny. And then, like, they're like, okay, you can go now. And I'm like, all right. So I start leaving, and man, I knew it. I could feel him behind me. And I turn around, and he was like 6 feet up next to me, right behind me. And I was like, ah! He turned around, and he's left. And then I turned around, and I just went out the doors. I was standing there laughing by myself for like 5 minutes.
Right. either you were going to Survivor, or they were going to put a restraining order on you.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, right? And I was like dying. I was over in the corner. I was just laughing at myself. And that the person I was taking care of us at finals, she comes over. She's like, compose yourself. You can't let everybody see you laughing over here like this. And I'm like,
oh, my God.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. They were like trying to reel me in. That was funny as shit. Yeah. That's why the next day when they asked me, you know, how do you feel about that? And I was looking right at Doug, because Doug McCallie, he's like one of the big producers.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, well, it takes a big man to hit a woman. And he just looked at me. He was like, fuck you, man. Just like, dude, I can't even believe you just did that to me.
Sorry, wow.
Am I allowed to swear? Because
Denise, we want you to be you, okay? All right. There might be some families listening, but also, like, we want you to be, you know.
Right, well, yeah, I'm from Revenge. I got no excuse. That's it. Just comes out. It's not my fault.
Yes.
So that's it. I tell the truth all the time. I don't even care.
You certainly know how to clear a room.
Oh my
For
God.
Sure.
It was hysterical. I was dying. I couldn't even believe that that went by like that.
Denise, are you still doing martial arts?
Well, I am. I got hurt at work, so my thumb doesn't really participate towards that direction, but I do at home. Mm-hmm. Like, still do all the forms and all the workout and everything. So best I can. So it's pretty good, you know?
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. What have you been up to, Denise?
Well, I've been working at a golf course. I've been like, I mow the greens now and I get to play golf. That's fun.
How are you as a golfer?
Well, everybody can use improvement, right? That's what Belichick always says.
We don't talk about Bill Belichick on this podcast, Denise, by the way. This is an anti-Patriots podcast, I'm sorry to tell you.
Well, you know I'm an avid Patriots fan.
Do you know who my team is?
I don't know, but I'm sure I hate them.
Yeah. The Jets. Jets.
And see, I was right.
You were right. You know it.
I was right. I knew it. I could tell. That's okay, though. We could still coexist in the same room.
That's fine. That's fine. We'll talk. We'll just stick the Survivor.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you. That you were, how was your golf game?
You know, I hit it down the middle off the tee, and then I pray for the best till I get to the green.
Okay.
Just like everybody else. So, yeah, no, I do about par. Mm-hmm. Par the hole.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then except when you hit the sand bunkers, and then it's like screwed.
Mm-hmm. T-Bird, do you golf?
I do not.
Yeah.
Actually, for me, Denise and Rob, I know this is, sounds really lame, but it's too slow for me. I'm more of a tennis player or a runner, you know, even singles instead of doubles, because I just want to keep moving. So putt,
that tracks. Golf, it makes sense.
For me, it's, yeah.
Story checks out. Yeah, for sure.
Like you play like what back in my day, we used to play like up against. And it's just, you had the tennis ball and the line, and it had to bounce before the line, and you catch it, and then the other person had to catch it before it bounced once. So it was like, it's kind of like that, but it's not with a racket or anything. You just like throw against the wall, mm-hmm. and then the person catches it until the person misses, the other person gets the point.
Yeah.
We used to do that in the old neighborhood all the time. That was before the internet.
Yeah, that's what you had to do.
Before tennis rackets.
Yeah.
Well, no, we still had the rackets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the rackets.
It was
no
place of, we had the neighborhood, though. That's what it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You had a tennis ball that everybody could play. You had a racket, you had to wait your turn. Yeah. Unless it was tennis ball, racket, baseball. And then that was a cool game.
Yeah. Denise, so we heard a little bit about your casting story, and T-Bird gave us a little background of how you got onto the show. Could you tell us a little bit more about how you went to make the decision to apply for the show?
Well, okay, this is another story. Okay, so I went to work this morning, and my boss heard on the radio they were doing open casting calls for Survivor up in Reading at the Jordan Max. So I was like, she comes to work. She's like, you should go try out for that. I was like, well, I can't because I got to work. You know, she's like, no, I'll pay you sick day. You just go up and go. So I have 4 hours of work. I was like in line for 7 hours because, of course, I had to go because I was getting paid for the day off. So I was in the line and like I was at the first 50 people. It took over 9 hours to get to that person. And then they started doing interviews on the sidewalk. So by the time I got in, like, they were like, all right, they sent me in a chair. They got the door shut. They're like, why do you want to be on Survivor? Go. And I was like, oh, you know, I don't like going outside. I sleep. I got a dog. I got my dog wants me to go on. My friends want me to go on. My dog Teddy Bruschi wants me to go on. I don't like bugs. I don't like eating bugs. I don't like getting bitten bugs. But I'll do a few, Jeff Post. and then I stop. And they're like, you still got like 40 seconds. You want to keep going? I'm like, no, that's it. That's all I got.
That's it.
And they're like, that's it. And they were like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, that's it. So they're like, all right. So they end up, 2 weeks later, they call me back. So I go to another interview in Newton. And they're like, well, why didn't you wear your lunch lady get up? I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't even want to wear that shit at work. I'm not going to wear it to an interview.
Yeah.
What the fuck's wrong with you? Right? So they were like, oh, okay, that's just weird. So they were like, so then, when I got to the finale, Jeff Frost asked me in the interview, he's like, why'd you say, you know, you would do that for me, Jeff Frost? Are you in love with me? I was like, dude, I did that to get your attention, and here I am.
Are you in love with me? Oh, my God.
Right, that's what I said.
Didn't you already throw him on the ground? Does that sound like the actions of somebody in love with him?
This was just before that. It was like one of the first questions he asked me, of course. I'm like, dude, Like, no, no, it was just to get your attention.
Yeah. Yeah. And it worked.
It did work. Mm-hmm. And like, he couldn't even believe that I was like, I would do a few Jeff Probst. And he was like, and he looked right at the camera and looked right at me. And I was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are.
Yeah.
So when are we going out? And when's my shots?
Yeah.
So yeah, that interview was crazy though. But yeah, they called me back and they sent all the paperwork. Then they were like, because I had applied for Fiji. And then they were like waiting, and then they did the Pirate Masters thing, and they sent me some more paperwork. Then they were like, no.
What do you mean the Pirate Master thing? They wanted you to be on Pirate Master?
They sent me the paperwork for it. I redid all the research and shit, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know enough about this stuff.
Yeah.
But they were like, afterwards, they were like, no. We got something for you, because that's when they found out they were going to China.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So, and with your martial arts background, they wanted to save you for China.
Exactly. And because of all the challenges that we were doing there too. I mean, we were doing like three people fighting on a ship.
That's true.
We were doing like rolling that crap in the mud, tackling each other.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing like, I don't know, we were so many things, shooting arrows with the, and then with the warrior gear. It's like, yeah, I'm so glad they picked me for the show. That was my ultimate awesome experience ever.
Yeah. So Denise, when you were going through the audition process and you know, taking everybody out with your karate moves, did you notice anybody that you played on Survivor China with that was at that finals week in LA?
Oh yeah, yeah. Chicken was there. Damn. Yeah, that big hat and shit. He was like, we had to sit in this room for like 9 hours and watch Survivor. And people were like complaining. They couldn't sit on the metal chairs. They were laying on the floor with the fucking Sir Spitzalot. Kept spitting in this friggin' Dunkin' Donuts cup.
Who's Sir Spitzalot? Is that somebody that just was in casting?
No, because they said, well, pick nicknames for everybody. Whoever you, you know, whatever you see or whatever you think, just pick nicknames. And then they would ask us about them. So they're like, well, who did you notice in this room? And I was like, well, Sir Spitzalots. And they're like, who is that? And it ended up being Chicken.
No!
So he got picked. And I was in the gym and I was running on the treadmill. I was like running for like 30 minutes. And the girl next to me was had her earplugs in. And Jeff Probst comes on and she's like, "Hey, you want to listen to my earpod so we can both hear?" I'm like, "Sure." And it ended up being Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was in the elevator and you weren't supposed to talk to nobody. And the kid, what did I used to call him? Spike. This kid Spike. He would come down. Him and I were in the elevator and he pushed the button, he had to go to the next floor, and he's like, good luck. And I was like, good luck to you, man. It ended up being Todd.
Oh, Spike. So. Spike was Todd.
Oh, very
and
neat.
And Sir Spitzalot was Chicken. What other nicknames have for the cast members?
The Beach Boy. I was in the van with him, and I convinced the driver to take us to the beach before we went back to the hotel. And then we got called back because we had to go back to talk to Mark Burnett. So Dave, that was him.
Oh, Crazy Dave. Yeah.
Crazy
Dave. Hey, Cruiser?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And who else was there? I think there was one other person, but yeah, so like all those, there was a lot of people that were there that ended up being on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, do you have any other nicknames for people? I feel like that this is like a hidden talent. You don't have nicknames for me and T-Bird, do you?
Not yet, but I'll think of something.
Not yet.
Because sometimes it just comes to me. I have to know you first of all. Mm-hmm. Like, we sat around the fire one time, me and my kid sister and a whole bunch of our friends, and we gave each other nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
So like one kid was Squatting Squirrel, Panties on Fire, because he was sitting so close that the flame from the thing hit his pants and his pants lit on fire.
Did you give them nicknames?
Well, no, but we had impressions of each other. So instead, like, it was like Friday night, fun night. So we would like have skits, and then they would like interpret other people and like be like James was like, I'm hungry. I'm going to call you breakfast. Why are you going to call me breakfast? I'm going to use you for breakfast. I'm so hungry.
He's going to eat you for breakfast, Denise.
No, not me. Well, no, but that wouldn't be a bad idea. But no, the guy that was the camera guy. Yeah, he was like,
he was going to eat the cameraman.
it was like this camera guy because he was following him everywhere. He was hungry. And he's like, dude, I'm going to call you breakfast.
Wow.
So yeah, breakfast Mike.
Breakfast Mike.
Give us another impersonation. Come on, Denise, give us another impersonation. Give us one of your cast members.
Oh, come on now, you're putting me on the spot. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Especially myself.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. If it comes naturally, if it comes up organically, don't just do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it just to do it. Denise, how much do you keep up with Survivor since you've played?
I watch it all the time, every episode, as everybody else does. And I try to go to, we have some viewing parties around here in town in Boston that I go to a lot. Just to interact, and I go up to Bob Crowley's house. We had he does that the Durham Warrior Challenge.
Sure.
So I used to go up there and interact with the guys up there. We've met so many people and made so many friends. And this last July, I was just up in McCabe, Illinois, doing the. I actually participated in the challenge up there, so that was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I interact with some here and there. And then if I see them at events or, you know, and I always go down to Hots Reality down in Florida.
Sure.
Charity for Give Kids the World.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a good time, foundation.
Right? Yeah.
It's always a good time. And yeah. You get to meet so many people. And, you know, I mean, it's a great organization. They give to the families. And they not only cater to the kids, they cater to the kids' siblings, which is even more important because sometimes they just get left out and they're not involved. But when you go down there, every person is a prince or princess or king or queen the entire time. And it is so worth it. These families always need support, and these are memories they will never forget.
Denise, T-Bird mentioned in the intro that you do like still keep up with, you know, the recent episodes of the show. And so that you feel like that if you went back, you would have no problem with the modern game. Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely. I'd go right back right now. Believe me, I can make friends.
Yes. What about all these twists, Denise?
It doesn't matter, man. I'll switch around. I don't even care. You know, the times have changed. It's all you, me. So now it doesn't matter which team you are, which organization you can guarantee. Like, I'll be friends with you today, but tomorrow you'll be like, I'll be friends with you, and we'll get rid of that person. And you know what? I don't have to worry about being friends with them no more because I'm jumping to the next person.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you got a good clue of what's happening around you. And believe me, I can make people talk.
Mm-hmm.
I could still do it. I don't even care. I'd be going right now. I got whatever I got in my pockets. I got my passport. I'd be out on the bus if it pulled up to my house right now.
Okay. Wow. Is that what they do? They send the bus to your house?
If they did, I'd be on it.
You'd get on.
If they brought a helicopter, they brought a train, I don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
You got someone in a tank to come here, I'd be on the tank. I don't even, you know, and I'd make them sure that I'm driving it too, because that's pretty cool to drive a tank.
Yeah, do you know how to drive a tank, Denise? That seems excessive to send a tank out to get you. I think you'd go willingly.
Well, no. Well, I just happened to be. I was at a museum the other day, and you could buy a tank ride $1,400.
Yeah.
So like when everybody went inside after it was over, I kind of went in the tank to explore because there was nobody around.
Yeah. How was it in the tank?
It was very tight, but you know what? There's enough instrument orientation things there that I think I could have handled it. It would have been fun to find out, that's for sure.
Yeah,
if it crashed into a tree, you know. If it crashed into a tree, it'd be okay because it's armor plated. I'm all set.
And so, Rob, Denise, you bring up a really good point about adapting to the new school game now, where I think I saw or read where you had said that it's an easier, more of an advantage if you're working with everybody instead of just working in a little small group or alliance. And that makes complete total sense. You just spread it around. Right. So, and I did also, see that or heard that you had gotten contacted because you say about wanting to go back for Blood versus Water. Is that right?
Back in the day, they were like sending out stuff and they asked me who I would bring and, you know, what advantage we would take as a team to the games. But they picked like three or four mother daughter combinations. Mm-hmm. So I think that they just, you know, thought they were a better choice for TV.
Yeah. But
either way, you know, I'm just so glad that I'm still in the Rolodex, as the kids say back in the day.
For sure. For sure.
Well, you said mother daughter. You have three daughters really close in age. I guess they're all now within 24. Samantha's 24, Emily's 25, and Erin's maybe 28. Which of your daughters would you have taken with you?
Erin at that time, she's a college field hockey player. So she was like in the best shape of her life. And I think that between the two of us, I mean, I was pretty athletic too at that point. And so I think we would have made a hell of a team, like any challenges or even just going up.
She a black belt?
When she was a kid, she made it up to her brown belt before we ended up having to move from Rivera to Douglas. So I brought her back a few times to try to get her to her black belt. However, she ended up having to join the adult class where she did not like being beat up in the sparring class.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, it was that was her end of her road. But she did make it to brown belt, which is still an accomplishment in itself. She took karate for almost 9 years.
I think they were afraid to cast you to. You'd have taken out the whole CBS crew, every executive out of there.
Well, no, you know, it's a show. And without the people that are on the show to give back to the people to apply to the show, it's on revolving a situation. So you always have to make sure that the people that watch it are happy so that they apply, so there's another season. So I think that the more people you get excited about being on the show, the more excitement it brings to the show itself.
Denise, let's talk a little bit about your time in Survivor China. I feel like that is sort of an underreported story, just how tough the conditions were for you in China. How bad was it to play Survivor in China?
It was hot. At first, it was like wet. You couldn't even like, we had an event that they had to tie our shoes on with duct tape because we lost them in the muck so many times. It was like the ground was like you walk one step and it was like foot out of mud. Your feet were white and, you know.
Yeah.
Your feet were like white and like blistering, like peeling away from your body. And because you couldn't get dry, there was no way to get dry. There was nothing to use to dry anything. So, I mean, we ended up putting like a bunch of bamboo shoots on the ground and trying to make a mat so that we could walk around and like everybody was slipping and sliding and falling down. Mm-hmm. There was a major, major thunderstorm and lightning, and all the cameras, all the producers, everybody just left, and we were just left standing there.
They left you
in the middle of. Oh yeah, they were frightened. They actually left.
Oh my god!
They just left us there. So I mean, it was bad. Mm-hmm. And then when that stopped, it was like 124 degrees.
Yeah,
it was hot, hot, steaming hot. I mean, I still have a brand on my hand from where I held the when we did the last Final Four challenge, and you had to hold the plates up. It burned into my hand so hot that I still have a mark from that holding that pan.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and they waited until the sun was at the top of the sky.
Yeah.
Before they let us even start. We were sitting out there for like 3 hours in the hot, hot sun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with nothing, just sitting there waiting for them to set up, wait for the right time, wait for whatever.
Yeah.
You know how production is.
Yes, for sure.
Everything has to be perfect in perfect timing, perfect this.
Mm-hmm.
So we had it from like freezing, chilling to the bone, teeth chattering for 3 or 4 days at a time. To like sweating, not being able to move because you were so, so hot, to like dehydration. And then like we ran out of water, and then they were like, it was insane. So finally, by the end, I mean, it was like, if you got a challenge, you got a chance to drink something, you go and try to drink something. So it was like that.
Mm-hmm.
How did you enjoy, Denise, how did you enjoy the start of the game with the Buddhist ceremony?
I personally really enjoyed it because they showed us their culture. They showed us all about how, you know, their type of life is. I mean, we went into that temple and there must have been thousands of those little golden Buddhas looking at you in all different directions, and you could feel the intensity of what they were doing, and you know what they meant, and each one was different. Not one of them was the same. And the monks were like, made the girls cover up with the things before because the dresses were too low or too much skin was exposed, and then people just started freaking out. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, I only have one God and one Savior, Jesus Christ. And so they left, and then they had another girl, you know, she was like, I don't want to do this, but she was in the first in the line. So they made her kneel down, and they kept making her bow, and she wouldn't bow, and they push her down, make her bow. And I was like, this is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, it was like, it was crazy, crazy intense.
Yeah. Denise,
I could feel it.
One of the things that came up on the podcast recently was we were talking about some of the great all-time moments about survivors eating food on the show. And it came up about you trying to eat the balut. And actually, I have a clip, if you don't mind. Can I play that in case anybody forgot? Here's Denise attempting to eat the balut back in Survivor China, okay?
Go. James spitting it back up.
The cheeseburger. Oh, it's a sandwich.
It's in my mouth. Ah! Get in there.
Fire. Denise takes a big chunk of feathers.
Yeah, and it was discussed about Denise that you had such an interesting approach to that. You screamed as you tried to eat the balut, which that I thought would be a little counterintuitive because you have like you have air coming out. It would be hard to get stuff in, and then also you yelled at the balut, "Get in my mouth!" Struggling, and it didn't listen.
It did not listen. Yes, because like as a kid, okay, I don't eat eggs.
Yeah,
because like every time they crack an egg, I think there's going to be a chicken in there.
Okay.
And this time it really was.
Mm-hmm.
So like So like these are my two worst things. It was an egg yolk and a chicken attached to each
other.
And
there was also a guy named Chicken mess with you.
Yeah, well, I wasn't thinking.
AKA Sir Spitz-a-Lot. Yeah, he likes big Sir cups and he doesn't lie. Yeah.
That's a true story. I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this thing had like feathers and fangs and a beak and shit. And like it was looking at me. Okay, so like 5 months before this happened, I was at karate class, and a friend of mine, we were talking in the car, and she was like, if I ever went on Survivor, I would just like scream at that food and stick it in my mouth and chew it and swallow it. And this was just like some random thought she just said out loud. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That is insane. My friend Mad Dog, Madeline. And I was just like, and I couldn't tell her that, like, I was already in contact with all these people from Survivor at that point. And, like, so, like, when I went on there, all I could think of her was, like, just scream at it and put it in your mouth and just swallow it. I could have did it if it was one, but it was two. So, like, I mean, I kept throwing up, and then I had to lick it up and put it back in my mouth. And I want to tell you another part of the story.
Yeah.
James was trying to let me win.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
So he swallowed the first one in like one gulp, and I'm like, oh my fucking God. And I look at him and I'm like, James, and he takes another bite and he looks at me and he's like, and starts trying to choke and cough and shit. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? You could have been already done. So now I'm like trying to do this stuff and I'm screaming at the food and I'm like, oh my God, get in my mouth. And I'm like sweeping it off and I'm like licking this puke shit. And it's like, oh my God. And I got halfway through the second one and I was just like, I can't just eat the fucking thing. And Jeff's like, are you quitting? And I'm like, no, I'm not quitting. And I'm like, James, he just swallowed the thing. I'm like, oh my God. But they were trying to let us win or lose or something because he was going to come back to our tribe. So it was this whole big thing, but he was trying to let me win and I just couldn't do it. I did my best though, but that was my approach to that thing. Just scream at it and put it in my mouth. And then they gave me another one at the final five.
Yes. Okay.
And I just looked at that thing and I was like, I'm just gonna throw this in the woods. And Jeff's like, you're not gonna even try. I looked at Jeff, I'm like, I don't even know what to do with this thing, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no. And Todd's like, I'll eat it. But at that point, I already knew that I was safe, so it was okay.
Yeah. You had a very interesting relationship with James on the show, Denise. How did you two become so close on the show?
You know what? This is what happened. He was trying to get the girls off the boat and trying to help, and he put his hand out, and Courtney didn't take it. And then he put his hand out to Amanda, and Amanda didn't take it. And he put his hand out to me, and I took it, and I was like, thank you very much, sir. And from that point on, he had my back, and he helped me stay in the game, and he helped himself stay in the game when he got transferred over to John Hughes, because he told PG and Eric and Jamie that if they got switched over or joined, he can convince me to save them, and we could all be a final five. So by doing that move alone saved his life and saved mine.
Yeah. Now on the show, Denise, there's a point where James talks about what a hard worker you are. He says that you bust your ass all the time. He says that's attractive. Did you feel when you watched that back, were you surprised to hear that? Did you think that maybe that James might have had a crush on you out on Survivor China?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we did a lot of stuff together. He found this fish pond and he's like, oh, you want to go with me? And I walked like, I don't even know, 2 miles to this fish pond. And, you know, I mean, we talked a lot. And when he brought back food, he always gave me some. Or if he went off, I talked to him because he wasn't very talkative back then.
And
but he told me his like whole life story and everything. And I just feel like he really thought he could confide in me. So, I mean, that's the kind of relationships I try to build.
Yeah.
When I'm trying, you know, but I mean, I think it was a true friendship at that point. It's like every time he wanted to do something, I would go with him and I would, you know, help him out, or, you know, I'd bring back food, or I would bring back wood for the fire and stuff. And when we went on that little, the fisherman's feast, they came and made the fire and the food at our camp. And I got to go on that little boat with Aaron and the fishermen, and I got to drive the boat, and we learned about the stupid birds with the things around the neck that regurgitated fish. I don't even know what that was all about. So it's a true story. So when I came back, I got the fishermen, and I got our we had a big fish net, and it was all tangled up, and I got James, and we all untangled the fish net, and the guy took us out on the boat and showed us how to plant it, and him and I and the fishermen all did that together.
Yeah.
So I think he was impressed by that, he made the decision to let me go on the boat with Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, when I came back, I made the decision of sharing him in the fishermen and the net and all that together too. So,
and then
we caught a lot of fish because of him.
Denise, have you kept in touch with James at all over the years?
No, I've bumped into him maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
But no, not really.
He's kind of off the grid.
He's a strange fellow. But mm-hmm. You know what? He's got a lot of problems because he doesn't know who's his real friends and who's just in it for his money now. And
wait, does he have a lot of money now?
Oh, I don't know. Oh. But I'm sure he does. I mean, he was on the show like, what, four times?
I know, but he didn't win any times. Yeah.
But I know. But he, believe me, he got the fan favorite. And he got a bunch of stuff of that. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's a hard, you know, it's a hard thing. A lot of people get the survivor paranoia.
Yeah.
And they get the PTSD. And they don't know how to readjust to where they were when they're recognized all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I mean, you either embrace it or you escape it. It's just not one or the other. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was down, I was just telling you about the tank demonstration, and we ended up going to this place in Fireflies. And as soon as I walked in the door, the kid behind the register was like, "Oh my God, Denise, blah, blah, blah." And then he was so excited. He's like, "I've watched you on Survivor. I know you know the story." So he sat us down, and then he came over a couple of times and was talking to us. And then he got us the friends and family discount. So I went over and I took a picture with him before we left to thank him. And he's like, "Well, three other people also recognize you, these three guys." And then, I mean, just from Sunday to Wednesday, we had over 500 people liked it. I was like,
wow.
So, I mean, it's... Yeah, I know. And it's like, what, 15 years later, I was at a liquor store and this lady comes by and I said, "Hey," to her. She comes back. She's like, "Do I know you? I know you from somewhere." I get that a lot as well. And I'm like, it's the hair. Everybody recognizes the dough. So we'd play that game. I know you from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you watch TV? Yeah, I was on Survivor. She's like, "Yes, that's where I know you. My family all watched you. All watched this together." You know, and she's like, "Oh, can I get a picture?" And of course, you know, it happens all the time. It's just insane that it's still to this day.
Yeah,
it's still to this day. Like every 2-3 weeks or every couple days sometimes. It's closer to when the season starts. But I think since it was on Netflix and everything, that a lot more of the kids today have all rewatched all the old shows.
Do you think it's your accent and the mullet combination?
Do you think I have an accent? I thought you had the accent.
Oh, Rob.
I think it's definitely from the do, kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's definitely from my do. Yeah, I still look the same.
Yeah.
So, Denise, Robin said he asked you if you thought that James had a crush on you. And I think somewhere during the season, James said, "If I was 10 years older," or Denise was 10 years older, or Denise was 10 years younger,
I think it was 5 years.
Come on, T-Bird.
All right, 5 years. She'd be in. All right. if I was 5 years older or Denise was 5 years younger, she'd be in trouble. So
that's right, kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd be in trouble though, because I saw him naked in the shower. And I whistled, and I did, because I was in the bathroom, and we won the toilet paper challenge, so we went to that little Chinese place, and everybody had silk robes, and he was in the shower, and I was like, James, you're looking good over there. He's like, I gotta wash my nose.
He has to wash his what?
He had to wash his balls.
Oh, okay. Oh, no.
I said, Rob, I know I can see that.
Yeah.
I said, Denise, in other news,
yes. Also, T-Bird mentioned that you still cut your own hair. Can you talk a little bit about that? How did that get started? And then was everybody copying you during quarantine?
I think they were.
Yeah.
And it's coming back, my dude. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes, you know, it gets in my eyes, so it gives me a couple extra weeks before I have to go to the haircutter place. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tips on doing your own haircutting?
Yes. If it doesn't work out right, it'll grow back.
Yeah. Okay. So don't overthink it.
No, just try.
What do you use, Denise? Do you do like clippers or scissors or the Flowbee?
Oh, the Flowbee. No, that would be funny.
Yeah.
No, I got a pair of like preschool scissors I had when I was teaching daisies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like junior Girl Scouts. And they're very sharp. So I just use those in the mirror.
Yes. And you really focus on the front, and then the back is like you could just let it go.
You're right. But if you like pull it towards the front.
Yeah, if it's long enough, then you get
a trimmer.
Sure.
Yeah. Then you know you need a haircut. Yeah, no, I do what I can. And when I can't, I call my kids. I'm like, listen, okay. And then I pull my hair out with my hands and I'm like, okay, cut it this much and then just don't cut my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll come in. Sometimes they'll assist.
Sure.
You know, because sometimes, there's this one little part in the back that I can't really see. But you know what? If I can't see it, I don't care really what it looks like.
So you had a chance during the game to team up with PG. So how do you think that would have worked out for your game, looking back on how it actually turned out?
I think that if I had turned and went with PG, that everybody on the jury would have voted for PG. She would have won the rest of the contest outright. She would have been, you know, she would have had all the immunity necklaces. She would have had all the wins. She would have had everything. And all her friends from her other tribe that we voted out first were all on that jury. So
yeah,
I have no doubt about it. If I had let her be my ally, she would have won, and there was no way I could allow that.
So T-Bird, I just want to let's just talk about which vote are we talking about. So we're talking about the final six voting with PG instead of voting out Eric. Is that right?
No, they wanted me to go with them and vote for Todd.
Yes. Okay.
And which would have been a great move. And then it would have been me at six.
Yes. Okay.
It was PG, Eric, it would have been me, and it was Courtney, Todd, and Amanda.
Right.
Okay. So if I had gone with them,
it would be a 3-3 tie.
Todd, it would have been a 3-3 tie. It would have been Todd, Amanda, and Courtney would have got rid of me next because I betrayed the thing. And then they would have got rid of PG. So they still would have went to the final three. But it would have been a tougher road because they still had to fight against PG. But Amanda was a friggin' goddess beast.
Yes.
Who didn't lose nothing and didn't change her mind.
Yeah.
And was like a deer in a friggin' headlight who couldn't even like understand what was happening.
At the final tribal council? Yeah.
I'm going to say from that point, after she got James out till the end, she only had one thing on her mind.
And that was what?
I think that Todd convinced her to take him. And he told her that if she took me that I would have won because I had kids. It was after we won the boat and we were on that cruise and they heard me talking to my kids on the sprint call.
Yeah.
I think that was what changed her mind into in him, convinced her that I would win because I had kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that was my downfall because I was doing so well and I was excited and I opened my mouth too many times before in front of them. But that's where a lot of it fell down. But if James had given me one of those hidden immunity idols before we voted him out, I would have definitely gone for Todd at that point.
Did that come up, or that he had no idea that he was even potentially a target at that vote, or otherwise he would have played his idol?
He had no idea. And I, like, before we went out there, I was like, listen, why don't you just let me hold one? You can take one, you know. I won't use it. I just want to hold on to it. He's like, no, you're safe. You're not going home. You're not going home at all. And I'm like, no, I know, but just this way would be, you know. And he didn't get the picture. And then we were at the tribal council, and I was still trying to convince him to try to use one, but he wouldn't listen. He just didn't get my subliminal messages. And then he ended up getting voted over too, which cost me because I was trying to get that one from him.
Mm-hmm.
Which anybody would have done at that point in time because I knew he was getting voted out.
Sure. Denise, it seemed like that it was frustrating to live with Jean Robert during your time in Survivor China. Can you talk a little bit about what that was like to spend time at the Fei Long tribe with Jean Robert?
Yeah, you know what? Jean Robert was pretty funny. Him and Courtney had this tete-a-tete, and every time I would just laugh because, you know what? The attention was not on me.
Mm-hmm.
He would just go down to the lake, but he was one of my alliance. Him, James, and me all signed like a little agreement kind of thing where no matter what happened, they both had my back at that time. So as long as he went before me, I still had a cover. But if things worked out, you know, it was okay. So we had an execution of a plan of attack of who we're going to vote out next and where they would go. And when it came time for them to vote him out, they didn't even tell me because they thought that we had an alliance. But what ended up happening was we were supposed to vote out PG that time, but Courtney convinced them that if he didn't get voted out that day, that she wasn't going to vote with them anymore. And so they ended up voting for Jean Robert, and he ended up leaving. I mean, the guy was a jackass. He went out there on purpose to, like, cause trouble and chaos and whatever. And then he's like, oh, I speak Mandarin. And he starts talking to all these people and then the fishermen. And he's like, blah, 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 blah. And they all knew what he was talking about. I was like, all right, whatever. And he's the one that decided what our merged flag was going to be. I think it means big wind or something, big ferocious wind, hay dung, whatever. And Prost was mad because he thought that we were going to like combine the two tribes of John Hu and Fei Long into some weird kind of combination.
Did he want that? He wants that?
Yeah, sometimes he does. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
But because it was monsoon season and we had all gone through all this stuff, we were like, oh, big fucking wind is better than that. So we went with that. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, Jean Robert seems really appeared upset when you got voted out, Denise.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Because I didn't vote for him because I didn't. My vote at that point didn't matter, and that's why I think he would have voted for me at the end. He would have voted for me, and James definitely would have voted for me at the end, because I still had his back even in that decision of not, you know what I mean?
If you had gotten past that vote, Denise, would you have rather seen, I mean, of course it was the final three with Amanda, Courtney, and Todd. Do you prefer a final three or a final two? What do you think would have helped you out the most if you had made it past that vote?
At final three, I think it wouldn't have mattered. If I would have liked to go on against Todd, I would have liked to share my part of the story and how I did this and that and the other thing and how I'm still here now. And I think we should have got rid of Courtney. She was just a scapegoat. Amanda won all the events. So, I mean, of course, she's going to still be there, but she had no story to tell. Her only story was I believed in Todd, went with him, and I voted out James, but we all voted out James. It was a group decision. It wasn't hers alone. It wasn't her idea. Mm-hmm. It was time, you know, because he could have used both idols, five and four, you know, and gotten into the final three on his own. So we had to get rid of him. It doesn't even matter. There wasn't even a choice.
Denise, after the season was over, it ended up becoming a big part of the story about the controversy over your job and what position you held at the school. Did you feel like, did that get blown out of proportion or was it a misunderstanding?
I think it was definitely a misunderstanding and blown out of proportion at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I did come back and I did talk to the people in the kitchen. I did talk to the woman that was in charge of the kitchen and I asked her and she directly was like, no, I don't care what they say. I'm not bringing you back. So I was like, I did try. All these people are witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then the superintendent wanted to have a meeting. And I was like, listen, I was like, you know, did you check out my story? She's like, no, I didn't check out your story. I was like, she's like, you're never going to talk about this again. You're never going to talk about Survivor. You're never going to have anything to do with it again. I was like, seriously? I was like, you just...
They were trying to silence you, Denise?
They threatened all the people that work with me to keep their mouth shut or they were going to lose their jobs. They sent out a memo. This is our statement. We don't want anybody to talk. I could not consciously allow all those people to be fired.
Yeah.
So I want, you know what I'm saying? I mean, wait, it's like, I went into that room.
What didn't they want you to talk about?
Because what I was saying was the truth.
Yeah.
I did go back. I did talk to these people. There were witnesses. They had my back. They were willing to back me and support me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like when you go to your boss, you go to like the gas station attendant, like manager, or do you go to the head of the CEO of the corporation? I go to the guy that's a gas station attendant's boss.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did. I didn't go to the head of the corporation. I'm sorry. She had no idea what was happening or why all this stuff was going on. And then she refused to look into the situation.
Yeah.
But she was, because she wasn't aware of the situation.
Right.
And that was unfortunate. Maybe I could have did something better to inform her. Maybe I could have been like, oh, can I have a meeting with a superintendent? But why would I do that? You know what I mean? I'm like, I already talked to the person in charge of the kitchen. So, you know, I mean, I worked in that school. My kids went to that school.
Mm-hmm.
Their friends were in that school. Every person in my town on Wednesday night stopped what they were doing and they watched that show to support me and my town.
Yeah.
And I did the best I could on there. I didn't lie to anybody. I told the truth the whole time. And then, like, I just tried to get back on the day shift because when I was out there, I realized what was important to me. And being here with my kids and being in the school where I can see them every day and know what they're doing. And that was more important to me than getting $10 more an hour than I was making.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my job was still open. They hadn't hired anybody. It was still a month to go. The man, one of the guys, had passed away while I was away. So there was definitely openings. There is no way that all of that should have came down. It never should have ended up like that if she had just waited. But then, like, that day I was supposed to have interviews and they didn't know what to do in LA, so they canceled all my interviews. And they're like, why didn't you go to the interviews? I'm like, well, because my personal person, you know, told me not to do the interviews. Then they made me go on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
So I was on there, and I was supposed to talk less and tell my story about, you know, how I would never disrespect my children this way. And I was supposed to have the last words. And the interview person talked to her, and they listened to her because, you know why? She's in an authoritative position, and I am just a lunch lady type person. So they listened to her story, and then off we went. So I never even got to explain how, you know, I would never do that to, you know, these kids that look up to me. I mean, these families, they like, it was really, really, really hard.
Mm-hmm. And Denise, that Mark Burnett wanted to give you money. And then because of this, then right, he took it back.
Yeah, they offered me the money on the TV. And in the morning after this news broke and the superintendent called out to LA and she blah, blah, blah. She tried to, you know, make it worse. He's like, do you really, Jeff Ross asked me, he's like, do you think we're really going to give you the money now? And I was like, listen, I didn't have the money
before. You should have kicked his butt again, Denise.
I know I should have, but you know what? Like, listen, that's not my style. I'm like, listen, yeah. I didn't have it before. I don't have it now. It's not a big deal. But you know what? That those kids could use it. You know, those people could use it. So why don't you just donate to them in my name? And then, you know, my conscience is clear. It's not clear because I didn't do anything wrong. It's like Braveheart, you know, when the girl comes back and he's like, oh, where's all the gold? And she's like, well, I gave it to for the suffering of the people.
Yeah.
That's the way I felt at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fine. You know, give it to people that could really use it. I mean, I could use it. My kids were almost ready to go to college.
Yeah.
But you know what? I would rather have my reputation and my honor than have your money. So, I would have liked it though. Let me tell you.
Yeah,
If they gave me the check today, I'd still take it.
Yeah, it wouldn't have hurt Mark Burnett. He could have done it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
that's just the way the ball rolls sometimes.
And Rob and Denise, Rob, I want to mention the money was supposed to be that $50,000 was supposed to be donated to the Elizabeth Glazer Pediatric AIDS Foundation. So that's a fantastic foundation. So
absolutely.
Anyway, I hate the way it turned out.
It would have been fine. Denise. Mark Burnett could have given money to the Elizabeth Glazer and to Denise. Like that would have, it would have been fine. He's got it.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm just glad they got it. I'm just glad that Elizabeth Glazer got it.
T-Bird, I know you have some surprises for Denise.
I do.
And do you know that there's surprises on this show, Denise?
I did not know there were surprises. This. All right.
Don't get too excited, but we got some things.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're not going to take them away. Put it that way, though.
The first surprise, Denise, I think you kind of alluded to it when y'all had the opening ceremony at the Buddhist temple. And this one lady that stood her ground on not wanting to go and be part of the ceremony.
Yeah. My friend Miss Leslie.
Okay. You ready? Yes. You ready, T-Bird? Okay. Here we go.
Ready.
All right. Tell us if you recognize this voice, Denise.
Hey, Denise, it's Leslie. I just wanted to pop on here and just say, I am so excited that you're on the podcast. I'm sure you've got lots of fun behind the scenes things to say to everyone. But anyway, I am in the middle of moving. And so I'm a little in over my head. I've been trying to get this in for like 3 days. But I'm so glad I finally made the deadline, like literally by the skin of my teeth, because I really just want you to know how special you are, how awesome it was to have the adventure of a lifetime with you by my side, even though you hated my guts then.
Oh!
I don't blame you. I was annoying. But anyway, I love you, and I hope you have an amazing day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Did you hate Leslie's guts?
She was like everybody's mother, right? Mm-hmm. she's like, you know, oh, I got to go wash the dishes. Oh, I got to go do this. Oh, did you do that? I'm like, dude, I already got a mother. What are you doing? But all right. So when we first got there, we had to share a bungalow.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to talk to each other. And we were there for like a week, adjusting to the time and the heat and all that stuff. And she comes into my room. She's like, can I borrow your cards? I'm like, cards? Yeah, sure. She's like, I'll lend you my Bible. I'm like, oh, no, I got an extra deck. Here you go. You can keep your Bible. So then when we get out there, I mean, I really tried with her.
She wanted to borrow a deck of cards, Denise?
She did. Because she heard me in there with my cards. Because, like, there's nothing to do. There's no TV. They take your phones away. You know, you got nothing. You can't talk to nobody. So, like, I had my cards. So I was just playing solitaire and whatever in there. And she could hear me, like, shuffling the cards all day. Mm-hmm. So I know she was like, so she asked me if she could borrow the cards. But, you know, I always carry two decks of cards with me just in case. You never know when a crazy game of crazy eights might break out or something.
You never know.
You never can tell, right? Yeah, how long are you going to be in an airport? You don't know. Mm-hmm. You have no idea. Cards always work, you know.
Right.
So I didn't hate her. I loved her. I mean, because I even flew down to one of her charity events down South Carolina or something. And I ended up being out there with Johnny Fairplay and Tanya. And that kid. I love that kid. Wood. What's that kid?
Jeremiah?
Yes, Jeremiah. Mm. I love that guy. So, like, there was a bunch of us down there for that event. So, I mean, I talk to her when I see her at, like, You Kids the World. She's got a lot of stuff going on. But, you know, if I see her, I'll say hi. We'll give her a hug. I got no ill will against any of these people.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard. We all survived the same event. We all survived the same experience. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and she does so much, like I said, for Give Kids the World, that it's insane. She does a lot of stuff. She's very committed, and I appreciate that.
I think no matter what your relationships are, once the game is over, generally there's such a bond with the 16 or 18 or how many people play. I know this next little message is from somebody who didn't get to spend as much time with you as they wanted to. However, I love what she has to say about you. So, Rob,
could you narrow it down a little bit, T-Bird?
Okay, she got voted out. She just missed the merge.
Okay.
Hey, Denise, it's Sharia. I miss seeing you out at charity events on the road, but I hope all is well with you and your family. You know, one thing about being on the island with you, even though my time was short over there, Fei Long, is that I admire your strength, mental and physical, for sure, and your ability to speak your mind when you did not agree with something. So keep doing that. Keep living life and keep rocking that mullet. Who else is going to rock it like you? Love you, miss you, and hope to see you again soon.
Okay.
Yeah. I love Sharia. She's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we she was also at that party down in Leslie's house.
Yes.
Yeah, we shared a cab going from the airport to Leslie's place.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I mean, she was very lazy, didn't do stuff because that wasn't her style. But you know, she is very smart. She's very strong, and she is cool. She's a cool cat.
Mm-hmm.
I really do appreciate her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is a very smart, strong, very strong woman.
She really is. She really is.
What she had to say about you. Now, this young lady is who wanted to be in alliance with you, and the game may have turned out differently. So, okay, Rob.
Okay. Here we go.
Hi, Denise. It's PG, your fellow survivor China monkey. Do you guys, I don't know if you guys knew this, but back in Survivor China, we called ourselves a little monkeys because we felt like monkeys in the jungle. We were always perched on these little logs, you know, with our grubby hands above all of this mud. Anyhow, yes, sir. How are you doing? I just wanted to share that one of my best memories of being on Survivor China was going to the Shaolin Temple with you. It still remains one of the best experiences of my life. It was absolutely amazing. And a few behind the scenes for you guys. I remember walking up and there was no way to do it privately. So we're in this giant courtyard. It's filled with tourists and vendors. We're surrounded by this clown show of cameramen. And here we are in our like dirty, stinking rags. We probably smell disgusting. And it was just so surreal to have come from being, you know, inside the jungle, deep into this game, and suddenly you're out in like tourist land. So bizarre. And then the other thing I also remember that they didn't show on the show was when we left the Shaolin Monastery, they're training all these kids outside the courtyard. And I don't mean like a few kids. There was like, it seemed like thousands, like tens of thousands of kids in the courtyard, in the hills. As far as the eye could see, they're all training. They're all doing kung fu, martial arts. And it was absolutely incredible. Anyhow, I'm so glad I got to share that memory with you. Anyhow, thanks for having me on, T-Bird. Bye.
Okay.
PG. Hey, Denise, did you see PG in Second Chances? Because she was actually my alliance for Second Chances.
Oh.
Yeah, she is great. She is a competitor. She is one of the best players I've seen. That's why I was afraid to take her to the end. I swear, I am so glad that she picked me for that, to go there on that excursion. We got there and they left us in the car for a while, and something bit her or something, and she had an allergic reaction, and her face was all kinds of puffing out, and she was having a problem, and we were banging on the door to try to get people's attention, to get her some medical attention. And she came back, and I mean, I'll be forever thankful for that girl to pick me to go on that trip there alone. That was like the most emotional, most inspiring, most energetic place I've ever been. And the head monk was taking us down into the this vault where his statues were over 5,000 years old, where all their history was, and explaining the writings on the wall. And he was asking me about karate and what, you know, if I knew anything or if I was a teacher or whatnot. And I said to him, I was like, yes, I teach, but I'm a student first, always a student. And the cameraman didn't get it. So then after he came out, after he came outside, they were like, what did you say to him? He wanted to see me do my karate in front of all the monks after they did all their demonstration, which was one of the most unbelievable things that has ever happened to me in my life. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's a great moment in the season.
Yeah. So, Denise, what did you learn about yourself? I mean, you played at 40. You know, what did you learn about yourself that you really didn't know until you played Survivor?
I don't know, because you know what? I've always believed I could do anything and I could adapt to any situation. And I've always done that my whole life. And, you know, if you're in the situation, you're just going to live the situation. And that's what I try to live by. I just try to be happy, try to make other people happy. And I just did what I had to do while I was there. I just more or less learned what my beliefs are and how much more I feel about them. So that's pretty much
all right. So, Denise, I know that you decided to give your vote. I mean, you said you would like to have been in a final two with you and Todd, which would have been a great final two. But you ended up giving your vote to Courtney instead of Todd.
That's right.
Well, you mentioned that Courtney had not really... Did you say she hadn't played maybe as hard as Todd? Would that be a fair assessment?
You know what? Courtney did a lot of stuff I didn't expect Courtney to do. She hit that. She was trying to cut some rope, and she hit that thing, must have been about 60 times. Her hands were ripped open. Courtney was Courtney. She did not hold back. She did not. She'd tell you the way it was, you know. And it's a funny thing, too, because her and I grew up maybe 12 miles away from each other. We shared the same experiences 10 years apart. She went to the same restaurants I went to. Her father worked at the airport, which we found out at when we did the loved ones challenge. My husband delivered and did FedEx at the airport. Those two knew each other. They didn't realize that the English guy and my husband knew each other from the airport until they got there. It was,
oh my God. That's right? Amazing.
It was a crazy coincidence, you know, and here she is. She lives in New York. I live in Massachusetts still, but it's so weird that the world is that small and that big at the same time. So we had a lot of stuff in common, but she always told me the way it was. And I told Amanda, before that even happened, before we went to the Final Four challenge, when I knew she wasn't going to make the fire challenge, I told her, I am going to vote for Courtney. And when we voted, I voted for Todd. And then in the finals, I voted for Courtney, like I said, I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
So
you kept your promise.
What?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew they were all voting against me. I knew I was going home at that point. So there was no point. I stayed with the vote I was going to make. She didn't stay with the vote she was going to make. And I stayed with the vote I was going to make when I told her what I was going to do. So that's how it ended up. Mm-hmm. You know? But it's all right.
All right.
That you don't always win.
Rob.
But you do always.
Yeah. All right. Well, there was somebody that did win. And let's hear from him.
What is up, Denise? It is Todd.
It's Spike.
Your guy. So I just want to share a fun story that I remember with you, one that I'll never forget. You and I were both in finals together. And when Mark Burnett pulled me aside and did his little interview with me, he asked me who stood out to me and who I thought I would play with. And I remember, I don't know her name, but the lady with the mullet, I don't know what it is about her, but I feel like I'm going to like her. And I feel like her and I are going to go far together. And they laughed and they were like, oh, that's great. That's crazy. And then the funny thing is I said, Jamie was the other one. And now I look back and I laugh at myself like, Jamie, come on, Todd. Anyway, I love you. I miss you. I hope that you are doing fabulous and the girls are doing fabulous. I'm just so glad to have you as a friend in my life. Sending all the love. Mwah.
Oh, what a nice message from Spike.
Yeah, I love
Yeah,
he's cool. He made me a custom pop.
I was going to ask, did he make a figure of you yet?
He did. Yes, he did.
Yes.
I'm like one of the first like 50 people or something.
Yes.
That he made one for.
Has he made any New England Patriots for you?
Oh, I haven't asked him or anything, no. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's so busy doing what he's doing now. But I've been sending people his way, and he has made pops for a lot of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, for sure.
Okay.
But yeah, I love that kid. I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
One of the greats. T-Bert, do you have any other questions for Denise?
Well, I just want to say, Denise, thank you so much. I know you know this. Let the listeners know. I've been so excited, Rob, to talk to Denise today.
Yeah.
And this is really important. I want to put this out there. Denise mentioned earlier about Give Kids the World, the foundation, what an important and special and beautiful foundation it is. And she is right now raising money. And again, Give Kids the World, it makes magical wishes come true for critically ill children and their families, like Denise said, for their brothers and sisters who sometimes maybe get pushed back with everything going with the ill child. So it's a place for kids to be kids. So Denise, tell us where people can contribute. Just tell us a little bit about that before we go. We want to help you with that.
Okay, good. Because like, there's a website you can go to. I have a donation page. It's, I think it's under Give Kids the World, under Hearts of Reality. You could look under. I mean, you don't have to just donate to me. You can donate to anybody on the list. But always your contributions are well needed, and we appreciate you every time you give it to us. So I don't exactly know what the link is. So T-Bird, if you could help me out with that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, T-Bird, if you get it, we'll put it in the show notes, okay? Stop.
Okay.
So please, yeah, but absolutely, please donate, and they need every dollar you can give. And believe me, it'll be a place in our heart for you, and every memory that they get, you should just be smiling for them. Thank you.
Okay. Denise, thank you so much for spending time with us here today. This was so fun, Denise.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys. Really, Rob T, you guys are awesome. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And really appreciate all those people sending in their thoughts. That was awesome too, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Rob, wait a minute. Let's see, because she's been with us now for a little while. So, Denise, do you have nicknames for us yet?
Oh.
Yes. Oh, Denise, I have to tell you this. Guess what? Denise, well, you and I have a lot in common. We are both Cinco de Mayo babies. Rob, we're both
happy birthday.
Yes. All right. There you go. Yes. Go to Pie Foss and all in there. There's a Pie Foss around the world now.
That's right.
I didn't know that. That's awesome. All
right. That's right. Do you have a nickname? Just come up with something. It'll be fun. Especially come up with one for Rob.
Well, I've actually met Rob before, and we had a little tete-a-tete before.
Yes,
so
we got together
call
in Boston.
Him the Golden Boy.
Golden Boy.
That's right. I'm going to call you. There you go. I'm going to call you the Golden Boy. Man.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Because you're doing a great job, man. You're spreading the word. You're spreading the love, kid. Definitely for true.
Thank you.
And T-Bird, I'm going to say, tell you, man, you make my heart flutter. You make me smile. So I'm going to call you, the great, beautiful wind talker.
The great, beautiful wing talker?
Wind talker.
Wind talker. You're not calling her a windbag, are you, Denise?
No, I'm talking her a wind talker, dude. Because come on, that's nice, right?
Yes.
That's a good thing. That's not bad. And her name's T-Bird, and she's a wind talker, and she rides the wind. So it's cool. Okay. It's a good thing.
The great, the GBWT.
Yeah, I like it.
Denise, thank you so much.
Yes.
On the spot, that's pretty awesome.
See,
right?
I was worried, Denise. You called me the Golden Boy. I thought you were going to call T-Bird the Golden Girl. I was going to say that we're not doing that.
No, I'm not doing that, man. I don't fly like that.
Yes. Okay.
All
right.
All the good things, friends.
Denise, thank you so much, okay?
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right.
Really appreciate it.
Take care. Bye.
You too, bye.
Thank you, Denise. Bye-bye. All right, bye.
Thanks, Jay. Bye.
All right, T-Bird. There you go. Denise Martin, how fun is she?
Denise, the lunch lady. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Does it surprise me that she still, 15 years later, is out and about and people recognize her? The fans loved her.
Yeah.
What a character.
She looks the same. Same hair, same voice. So, yeah.
A beautiful person.
Not surprising.
What a beautiful down-to-earth person. Mm-hmm. Not surprising at all. So anybody that's interested, show your love. She is raising this money for Hearts for Reality, Give Kids the World. So if you're interested in wanting to help her out with that, that would be wonderful. And gosh, Rob, what a compliment to you, Golden Boy. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What a compliment.
I mean, it could be Golden Man.
What?
It's fine. Yes.
It could be. But Rob, she's a little bit more mature than you are. So I think Golden Boy applies. But Rob, you never like to toot your own horn, but I'm going to do it for you right now. This is a perfect word. Golden Boy is perfect for you. You have brought so much joy and love and fun with your RHAP. Thank you from me and everybody else that enjoys it every day. So thank you for that. But yes, Denise Martin.
Yeah. All right. T-Bird. Wonderful. All right, so that was a good one. Hopefully everybody appreciated hearing from Denise. What else do we have to do today?
Well, I don't know, but I think we're on fire with season three because Rob, I don't remember. I mean, we've had some really great players on from Survivor, but gosh, I've loved this season three. It seems like I get more excited with each one because we've had such great guests. So,
sure.
You know, just trying to one up it each time. It's getting hard to do.
Okay. T-Bird, anybody special to thank for this podcast?
Oh, yes. I wanted to thank, of course, we had Leslie join us and Sharia join us and Todd join us and also PG. PG actually has a real reality escape podcast that she's doing now. Which actually, it has conversations about escape rooms and other kinds of immersive experiences and gaming. Because, you know, PG is a big gamer. Again, she was my Second Chances Alliance. I let her down. Let myself down, but not that. But anyway, PG, check out her Reality Escape podcast.
Yeah. All right. So thanks to everybody who sent in messages for Denise. Thanks to everybody for listening. And until next time, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.